Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Gina, the author of the amazing blog and website, embracingimperfect.com. You are definitely going to want to head over and check this out. This interview blew my mind. She talks about so many issues, and it's been a recurring theme, I'm going to say, in the guests that I've interviewed probably the past 3 weeks. Just women that have experienced incredible hardships and challenges and chaos and just life's chaos, I'm going to say it that way, and bounce back and they're just thriving. And yet, not only are they thriving, but they've become so passionate about helping other people through similar challenges or very much the same challenges or life experiences. And that certainly can be said of Gina. Gina has two children, one that has autism and one with Down syndrome. And what we end up talking about in this show is how she discovered through lots of just experimentation how changing the food that their family ate made significant improvements in both of her daughters' health, wellness, life experience. She'll go over the details here. But then it was through that she then found her fitness and found her kind of health vibe. So it's a very interesting, probably unexpected timeline, if you will. You might have thought that it was her being healthy, focused first, and that the children came later. But no, it was actually the children and her desire to help them through their challenges that changed her life after the fact. And I think it's an incredible journey, and she has really quite a lot to say. She's got a great blog. I'm looking at it right now. Also great on social media as well, and we'll link up to all of that in the show notes. But for right now, sit back and enjoy this chat with Gina from embracingimperfect.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, Gina, don't laugh. You told me how to pronounce your last name, and now I'm scaring myself. Gina Badalati, is it right?
Badalati.
See? Okay, you guys, when I have somebody, and the way you spell her name is so simple, it's like when people look at Olexa, they go, how do I pronounce it? And I'm like, Olexa. And they go, it's just like it's spelled. And now I just did it. I just scared myself. So I apologize, Gina. But anyway, we talked about you in the intro. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm excited to get this conversation started because what we're going to end up talking today is you're the first guest that we have on the show that we're going to end up talking about some of these non-toxic tips for families and how that can help a myriad of health issues, but specifically kids with disabilities. And we're going to talk about that. So I'm really pleased that we're going to be able to dive into that. And you're the first one. And it might be something we can explore several times. But first of all, whenever I have somebody on the show for the first time, I really like to have them share with our audience their fitness journey, or really the beginning of their fitness journey. So when was it for you, Gina, that you first became interested in leading a healthier lifestyle or getting into fitness and wellness? When was that for you and why?
It actually started with my children. I have two kids. My youngest daughter is autistic and my oldest daughter has Down syndrome. And when my youngest was 5 years old, she had not yet been sleeping through the night. As you can imagine, that takes a toll on a family. Uh-huh. And we had tried absolutely every conventional method possible. And a friend of mine said, stop giving her dairy. And you'll only have to do it for a few weeks and then you'll see. It took about, I think, 11 days. And she started sleeping through the night when I took her off any kind of cow milk products.
Really?
Yes. And then I had taken the whole family off to make it easy. And then my other daughter, suddenly her teachers are calling me, telling me she's doing better in school and her lifelong allergies went away. Mm-hmm. So I really woke up to the fact that every single thing you eat and drink is really important, not just to your body, but to your brain and how it functions. And that began a whole series of changes that I implemented for my kids. And it's been a long journey, and so I've kind of put myself on the back burner. And just now that my kids are a little older, they're 12 and 15, I started taking care of my own journey. I joined a boot camp gym about 6 months ago, and I'm hooking up with a naturopath doctor next month. So I'm moving everybody's journey forward, finally mine as well.
I think that's very common with mothers in particular, but also just with women. I know I have that tendency as I call myself a recovering people pleaser of mm-hmm. taking care of everybody else and kind of unintentionally running myself into the ground. And at some point we all have to realize when we do that, inevitably we're going to fail those people that we're trying so hard to take care of. And so it's not selfish to put ourselves first. It's not selfish to make time for ourselves. And I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. I mean, obviously you've got a lot on your hands with what you've been dealing with your children, and you've got, I mean, you have a lot to share. This is going to be a great show. Dairy is such a sometimes controversial topic. You know, there's people that feel adamantly that no one should have any dairy of any kind ever. And there's a lot of data to support that. And then there's people that are like, well, in some cases, so like anything, you can almost prove any quote unquote side of the issue. But what I know from my own personal experience, I'm not lactose intolerant. I call myself lactose sensitive. I definitely discovered probably in my early 30s, I wish I would have discovered it earlier, because there would have been a lot of awkward situations that I could have avoided. But I realized there's certain dairy that makes me have an insanely painful stomach ache, horrible bloating, and maybe even a headache. But I never thought, now, and for me, it's odd because it's milk. If I have just a glass of milk, horrible. Yeah. Ice cream, horrible. Cottage cheese, horrible. On the other hand, I can have Greek yogurt. Regular yogurt makes me sick to my stomach. Greek yogurt I'm okay with. Cheese I can be okay with. Whey protein. Whey concentrate will kill me. Whey isolate is okay. So I've learned those things and I've gotten the tweaks from it. But I've also heard people say, you know, removing dairy helped their skin. So there's all kinds of things, but I've never really heard someone say about sleep. You removed it and your child had better sleep, but I've never heard that before. Why it helped with sleep?
At the time, I remember it impacts the cortisol, but it's specifically in kids with autism. And so, yes, mostly with kids with autism, maybe kids with something else, like if they have PANDAS or something that is similar to autism, mainly in particular, it's for our kids. And oftentimes, if they can't have dairy, they can't have gluten and vice versa. The leaky gut kind of walks hand in hand for them. So that was the next step we took. We took out the glutens after that. We didn't see a whole lot of changes in her or improvements when we took out the glutens. But in our journey over time, we took out different kinds of foods, preservatives, artificial foods and flavorings. Those things did have an impact. And then for me personally, I do not use dairy a lot. I don't really care for milk in the first place. If I'm going to do dairy, I'm pretty much going to do like organic cheese. And that's about it. Maybe the occasional ice cream. But I know that when I'm in allergy season, I get very severe allergies during the rainy seasons and change of seasons. Sinus allergies, and I know in that period that I will not do any kind of dairy or glutens or certain things like alcohol. Those will trigger my allergies even more. So I know to avoid those.
I'm not one of those people that's going to pretend like I know something when I don't. So I know that I have heard with honey about allergies. Like people will say, oh, if you have allergies, you should consume honey that's locally sourced, because then you will actually, it's almost like you're giving yourself the allergies and then your body will build up the resistance to it. So what is it, do you know about dairy? Is it certain kinds of dairy? Like in other words, we can go down the whole path with dairy, say it's milk of, you know, organic grass-fed cows, right? And the high quality dairy without hormones and antibiotics in it.
Is that what it is versus like crappy dairy? Or is it just dairy in general can accelerate allergies? Or is there a tie to local? And you might not know. I'm just curious if you do.
Yeah, I personally believe that dairy is actually non-organic, non-grass-fed dairy is really bad for you. Yeah. Personally, I've gotten to the point where it kind of grosses me out. I've read, I actually read a couple of years ago, way back in the beginning of my journey, The Unhealthy Truth by Robin O'Brien. And in that book, she really goes to lengths to discuss the dairy process in America. And you really come away with that understanding that you really don't want to even think about it
really
anymore. It's very, disease is very communicable and, between the cows and the way they treat the udders. It actually just makes them sicker, and it's not good. And so, you know, I'm very much a coffee junkie though. So if there's nothing in the house,
who isn't?
There's nothing in the house but plain old milk, because sometimes my husband drinks it. I try to get him to buy organic, but he doesn't always. I will drink it in the coffee, but I really try to avoid any kind of dairy that's not organic or grass-fed.
Yeah, I definitely want to have her on the show, and just a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, this was stuff that would make even people like me and other people kind of roll their eyes. Like, you sure. know, Leah and I joked when I interviewed her on the podcast, I'm like, she used to always see me at industry conferences, and I'd have my 17th Diet Coke of the day, and she'd be like, Kelly, and I'm like, Leah, just leave me alone. And I was probably still doing whey concentrate and all of that, and right. and not knowing that I had all these, and I hadn't gotten my blood work done, so I didn't know all of the hormonal issues that had been caused. But the more that I learned, and I will also not be a hypocrite, and you know, I've learned that there's balance, right? And there's balance. Each one of us have to find that. And so I'm just going to say, I have Oreos occasionally. Are those grass-fed, pasture-raised? You know, no, I don't even know what's in them. And I don't care. I want Oreos occasionally. But you do that because you stop stressing. And for the most part, you understand what's better. And when I get my eggs, which Amazon Prime Now will be delivering probably while we're recording this podcast, I do make sure I get not only cage-free eggs, but I get the pasture-raised, you know, like the best. You pay twice the price. But let me tell you, you crack open those eggs in your pan, it's a world of difference. Your pan, you'll taste it. So, okay, I could go on and on and on, but for everybody listening, just know that when we talk about topics like pasture-raised chickens and looking for that when you're getting eggs, and grass-fed beef, whether you're buying beef or whether you want cows and you're looking into dairy, we'll address those topics and dumb it down for everybody, because it can be very confusing. And if you're on the outside before you're comfortable with that, it can sound like, well, that's just expensive. And you don't understand how it affects your family. So Gina, let's bring this back to some of the changes that you made. You know, you talked about artificial foods and sweeteners and I think some colors. Tell us, you know, it's interesting because I've found the same thing. Yeah. I've definitely figured out on the dairy side what I can and cannot have. Gluten has not seemed to be as much of an accelerant to when I cut as more gluten and carbs in general, I lose weight, but for me, I can tolerate them more than if I were to go, like I said, I had one yogurt, my man, he has yogurt. I had one of his yogurts. I was so sick from one yogurt. It was ridiculous. But what were the things that you removed from your family's diet? And then what did you add back in?
So when my daughter, about a year and a half later, when she was starting first grade, that's when we removed all the processed foods. I will tell you that I do have brands of things like cookies and chips that I buy, but I'm really very particular and I only buy certain brands. But we removed the things that, it's so part of the traditional American diet that you don't even realize you are eating what you're eating, right? Uh-huh. You start sitting down and reading labels. And then because I write for Leah, I would go and research what those things in our food was. Some of them were benign and some of them were like, what are you kidding me? I'm eating what? That came from where? So we took that out. And at that point, my autistic daughter When we took out the preservatives like the BHT and all those things with the letters in them and the artificial flavors and preservatives, and this is a rare response, but I have heard other people have this issue, she became social. So when she was little, and this is very typical of children with autism, she would parallel play with other kids, but really not so much interact with her peers. She would interact with me and her family, but not with her peers. Immediately started interacting with her peers. I mean, that's the thing for us. Some of these changes were immediate. You see them within a few weeks. I mean, that's a good thing and a bad thing, because other kinds of things that you implement take months or weeks to see results. And so you kind of get impatient
I know what that's like. That happened to me when I first started treatment on bioidenticals. In two days, my sleep improved. Before he gave me the progesterone or whatever it is that he gave me, before that, for 5 years since my divorce, I had been unable to fall asleep without taking Excedrin PM every single night. And in 2 days, I was falling asleep naturally. But then the other stuff, the weight loss and the skin and all of that, that took months and months and months. And it's really, it's kind of a tease. So I get it.
Right. And then for my older daughter, so we just kept eliminating. The more I would read something is bad, the more I would go, okay, let's remove this kind of chemical. So we actually removed soy. I heard like a lot of terrible things about soy over the years. And then soy, even organic good soy, it can be a phytoestrogen, so it can mimic estrogen. So unless you literally know your estrogen level that week, you probably shouldn't be having soy, because it can play with the levels.
I've removed, you know, and I avoid soy. There was a time period when I first heard, so much progress has been made. Like, I don't know, you said you like coffee, right? So I used to live at Starbucks, and every time I would travel for business, I would get a big no fat skinny latte, you know, and I would chug it and I'd be on the plane going, why am I so bloated? Oh my God. Then I figured it out. But the only alternative back then was soy milk. And I remember it was Valerie Waters. She's a celebrity trainer. We've interviewed her on the show. Sweet, sweet lady. She told me years ago, she's like, Kelly, what are you doing with soy? And I'm like, what? So again, this was before I got my blood work, before I learned all that. Now I remove soy and I'm very careful. I was surprised to see it in things, you know, like soy lecithin, if I'm saying that correctly, in candies. It's a thickener. Yes. It's in so many more foods than you realize. And soy sauce, right? When we go have sushi. Now there's some people in our fitfluential community that like literally won't even have a drop of it. I don't tend to worry if I'm having some soy sauce with like my sushi, but my question to you is there are people that will say, well, soy is bad for you, but if you have the right produced organic soy, it's okay. Or there's some people that will say, you can't have enough soy to really make a damage on your hormones. And I'm guessing that you've probably found out those two arguments are probably not quite accurate. Is that right?
My real philosophy is take everything where you need to take it and don't go over that, right? So there are certain things. So for example, if you are gluten intolerant, you can't, to the way a child with autism is, usually they cannot even have like a molecule. They can't even have the gluten certified level. They're like below that level, right? And they can't have, and it takes months to get gluten out of the body. Other things process faster. So it kind of depends. I don't really like soy. I already know from my history as a woman that my hormones are a lot of times in flux and I have thyroid stuff. So I don't want to play with it, but it's not like I'm 100% soy free, because if you go to a restaurant and you order a salad, vegetable oil has soy in it. So I, you know, and we bring out our kids. So my oldest daughter is allergic to soy, and I found this out by taking it out of her diet. And we used to eat make homemade Chinese food, you know, that's like chicken broth, soy sauce. And
I just got very hungry when you said that.
I'm sorry. I took it out of our diet, the soy sauce. And then one day I had a sample that I went to some event and I had a big bottle of Bragg soy sauce, and it was the organic kind. So I put it back in the diet to test, to see her reaction. So I had regular, the chicken and broccoli with the regular organic soy sauce one night, and for the next 3 days, my daughter is very gentle, very mild mannered, very sweet. Oh, for the next 3 days, she was like the spawn of Satan. It was like,
oh, really?
So aggressive, angry, acting out the whole thing. I was like, I thought I couldn't find her walking on the ceiling or something. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. So I took it out. Now she does go out and if they have gluten-free fries, but they're done in the vegetable and she can handle that much, but to give her an entire plate of soy sauce, that was too much. So she kind of has a limit with it, but I won't see a lot of negative reaction if she has a little bit of the mixed oil, vegetable oil when we go out to eat, but I won't give her straight up soy sauce. And again, like that was the organic one that made her like that. You get to see, I mean, I hate that it's like your kids are an experiment when you take out the food and then you go, well, let me try it, put it back in and see if they have a reaction. You can pretty much immediately tell if they're going to have a negative reaction or if it's something that they can now have.
It's really such a good illustration for so much of what we're talking about, you know, the big picture on this show. And that's our commitment at Fit Phalangeal, helping to educate and get people to look at things differently, because I don't want to suggest at all that there's one way to eat for everybody, that there's one way to work out. I mean, that's, we're really trying to drive home. I mean, we're going to help educate you, open your mind so that you can become your own advocate and find out what's right for you. But we all have to do some experimentation to find our fitness, to find the foods that agree with us, to find not only the foods that agree with us so we feel well, but also that we're healthy. Because some things you can eat, you know, they're okay and you digest them. They're okay for your gut. You're not having sleeping issues, but maybe you gain a lot of weight or it raises your blood sugar. Everything that Gina has said for you guys listening, you know, these, she's doing this and she started doing this for her children for specific reasons. This kind of experimentation, when you start to really become in tune with your body, I mentioned earlier, like I've removed certain amount of dairy products. I still have other dairy products. I know my body. And I thought, like this was just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm like, I'm going to have one of my man's yogurts when he wasn't here because they looked really good. I had one little yogurt. I had a stomach ache all day, but probably old Kelly 20 years ago, I would have just been like, well, I don't know why I have a stomach ache. You know, I would have been walking around not having any idea. Now I know, like, here's the deal. I can't have that. So it's a good thing to get to the point where you're able to listen to your body. And yeah, sometimes when you maybe reintroduce food, you can have like a bad day, but then you know, because if you get to the point where you go, okay, when I eat this, migraine. When I eat this, migraine and bloating. And there's a world of other foods that are ridiculously tasty and yummy, that are gluten-free, dairy-free if you need it, paleo, whatever. Anyway, just an encouragement for everybody listening, because it really is life-changing when you start to be able to listen to your body and you make your own decisions there.
Fit Phalangeal Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP FitFluential membership. Our FitFluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our FitFluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year, I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
There's so much that we can talk about here. I think we need a second show. You mentioned that you started making these changes specifically for your daughters. And then more recently you started, you know, taking care of yourself. But I have to assume that along the way you were kind of not eating. It's not like you were stashing the bad food with artificial coloring and sweeteners and having that and giving the good food, if you will, to them. Are you able to look back and go, well, wow, before I used to have a lot of, I mean, I think you mentioned your allergies. What are some things that changed with you as you made these changes in your family's diet?
I'd actually like to give a great example that happened to us this winter as a family. So on the level of how well each of us eats in my family, my daughters eat the best because I 100% control their food. I'm next, and my husband is more prone to go out and have junk food here and there. so this in back in December, we each got the stomach bug. You know, it goes around. There's nothing you can do. You're going to get it. So my daughter got it first. She was good. My youngest got it first. It took her like 8 hours to get over it. I got it second. 24 hours took me. My older daughter got it, again, over it in 8 hours. My husband got it. Had it for 3 days.
Wow.
Not for nothing, but the minute that happened, I'm like, I have seen my kids' immune system go from one extreme to the other. You know, they get sick, which that's good. You're supposed to get sick when you have a functioning immune system. It's over. They're never sick for more than a day. Not in years and years have they been sick for more than a day. You know, to me, my thought back in December was, if I eat more like my kids, I could have been over this in 8 hours. You know, and we actually kind of had a stressful couple of, beginning of the year was quite stressful. So I did stress eating, but you know what? I was very conscious of it. I was like, you know what? I know that I'm stress eating right now. And I know we're going to be past this part where I'm not going to be stressed and I'm not going to beat myself up too much about it, but I'm going to try to go to the gym a lot more. So I kind of made that compromise and, you know, I had never really gone to a really intensive gym like I've gone to now. I'm at like a boot camp gym and I really enjoy it, but I can see how what I'm eating that day affects how well I perform at the gym and how I feel afterwards. So
true, you know, and yeah. Back to what you said about the immune system, it really made me think about, again, trying to get our listeners to think about things if you haven't before. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hear things like inflammation and mm-hmm. immune system and all of that. And you kind of, I know I was that person where if somebody said, oh, you must have inflammation. I'm like, I don't really know what you're talking about. And, you know, like we don't think about it this way. I think exactly. In the past, everybody, we've compartmentalized things like fitness just mm-hmm. meant eating less and working out. And that's all it had. We never thought about the fact that how much we sleep and how well we sleep affect yes. our performance in the gym, and how much how we eat and what we eat not only affects yes. what we weigh on the scale, but how we sleep, how stressed mm-hmm. we are. Like you said, with folks that have autism, Down syndrome, other issues, it's going to affect mm-hmm. multiple issues. So everything in our body is connected. And yes. the more that you can start to understand the big picture, that how stressed you are will affect the inner, this is my way of saying it, the inner workings of your body, what's going on underneath. And so, yeah, when you get a cold, if you have been highly stressed, running yourself yeah. into the ground, eating crap food, that's, mm-hmm. you're going to be in a much weaker state and you won't bounce Absolutely. Back like other people. And so when we talk about on the show, think about the big picture, start to understand how it can seem overwhelming at first. I do know that. Like when I first started hearing about hormones and trying to understand, and you said, Gina, that you have thyroid issues. I have Hashimoto's and mm-hmm. I'm still trying to fix that. You know, I have my doctor calls it like one of the worst thyroids on the planet. I mean, it's just, it's like dead. It's like a dead horse. And, yeah. but you deal with it. And the more you learn, the more all of these things start to make sense. So you've made some really great points. And I also love how you shared that, you know, you were going through a stressful time and you were eating your feelings. We all do. I think mm-hmm. I did that earlier this week with some Oreos. And the less that you mentioned that you were okay with yourself, like you weren't beating yourself up. And right. a lot of what we're talking about on the show going forward is the direct tie between stress and our health, everything from fitness yeah. to health. What was it? Because that's not normal for women mm-hmm. to not beat themselves up and to not get stressed out. When was it for you? You probably had to learn early on in life with what you're dealing with yeah. your daughters and their health. How did you learn that you've got to manage stress and not overreact all the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I you know, by nature, I'm a very sensitive and emotional person. And so I had, you know, my first daughter, she dodged a lot of health bullets. You know, she has a heart murmur, but she never needed surgery. It's very common with Down syndrome.
Really?
And then when, my other daughter came along from day one, she was stressed and crying and upset 50% of the time, I would say. And so my stress levels early on were really, really up there and really difficult to deal with. And I honestly remember one morning I was getting them ready for preschool. And I caught myself in the middle of screaming my head off at them. And I thought I was all riled up. They were all riled up. We were having a terrible day. And I said to myself, oh, you know, I shouldn't be screaming at them like a banshee. Like, that's not cool, you know? And I, how much of this do they even understand that I'm just stress yelling? You know, I'm not even really that angry. I just want them to make the bus. So I stepped back and I took 3 deep breaths. And I said a little prayer. I'm Christian. So I said a little prayer, and it immediately had like such an impact on me just doing that, it took me 1 minute, and it changed my philosophy about how we were even going to get up every morning and handle getting ready for school. And you know, now they're in 6th and 9th grade. And ever since then, I am going to do whatever it takes to make sure my morning is stress-free. If that means putting things out at night, getting things ahead of time, setting the clock a few minutes early. I'm not a morning person, so that was a big step in setting that clock earlier. But whatever I'm going to do, say a little prayer over them in the morning, all these things really, you know, and now mornings are, I'm still tired and grumpy because I have to get up at 5:45, but the mornings are okay, and that we can handle the crisis because I'm not in that immediate, I'm stressed out because it's morning and I don't want to be up and I'm angry at the world. So I took a proactive approach to looking at that and calming myself down. And then it became, mornings were not something I had to worry about anymore. I used to really worry. I would go to bed at night and go, oh dear God, I have to wake up and it'll be morning. You know? And I don't do that anymore. So I think you need to really look at the little tiny steps you can take within your day and within your time to bring yourself back to center. And you know, if you need to have a couple of Oreos or whatever it is to feel like I just got to get out some of the stress, then, you know, do it and accept it and move on.
Yeah. I mean, moving on is key, you know, not beating yourself up. I think that was such a big part of me in the past, was just extreme, you know, peaks and valleys and doing really well. And then having Burger King back in the day. And then I'd have that mindset of, well, I've blown it, so I might as well pick out all weekend and start over. I don't do that anymore, but I love how you illustrated what you did. And you talked about how you used to worry at night about the next morning because the more that, and I want to get more people on the show talking about just stress reality, because stress and anxiety and fear are all intertwined. And I believe so much more of our stress, which affects everything, which causes inflammation, which can, you know, accelerate any of our issues internally. So much more of our stress is unconscious. Like people, my doctor would go, you need to decrease stress. And I remember my reaction to him was, oh, come on. I have a startup. I've got this. I've got family members working for me. I've got problems. I'm moving, blah, blah, blah. I'm never going to not have. And I thought it was cool and funny. And it's not. So much of our stress, like, I'll be honest with you. One of the things, like, you used to get anxiety thinking about the next morning, and you changed your mindset because the only person in control of that mindset is you. And for me, one of the biggest things that was causing me massive anxiety and fear and stomach issues was we've had a very chaotic year with our business and dealing with I'll just say some bad people and bad companies that did some bad things. I know I sound like Pollyanna right now, but I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say. But I got to the point with my inbox that every time I would open my computer, I was convincing myself that like the devil was going to reach out of my Mac and just choke me and set me on fire. Like, that was mentally what was going through my head every time I sat down to open my email, because I was expecting the worst. And when I finally changed my mind to go, you know what? You're going to have problems in there, but you've handled, look at everything you've handled,
right.
Like you, look at everything you've handled in your life with your kids and, mm-hmm. and your family and your husband and yourself. You've got it. It doesn't mean that the right. answers will always be simple. It doesn't mean that it will be right away, but you will handle it and you will not be set on fire. You will not be stoned. You will not be pushed out of your house. And the more that we can calm ourselves down and recognize stress, I think
yes.
that's a big part of it. You illustrated it perfectly. And we definitely want to talk more about stress reduction on the show. You've shared so much information and we'll link up to so much of this in the show notes. But Gina, for people that want to find you online and find your blog, tell mm-hmm. us where we can find you.
My blog is embracingimperfect.com. And you can find me on Twitter or Facebook. I'm at Gina Bad. Or Gina Bad One at Instagram. That's GINABAD.
And we will make sure that we, of course, link up to everything in the show notes on Fit Fluential Radio. Gina, thank you so much. This was a wonderful show. We haven't talked about this before. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in Chicago at the Now Foods event next month. So I will see you in person and maybe we can record again sometime there. For everybody listening, if this show stoked some fires within you and you have questions either about, you know, kids with autism or Down syndrome, or if you have questions about just simply some of these lifestyle dietary changes that can affect inflammation and overall health, please don't hesitate to email us, podcast@fitfluential.com. We want to make sure that we answer all of those questions in future shows, either with Gina or with other experts and folks that are going to be on the show that can talk about this from experience. So again, Gina, thank you so much for being on the show. For everybody listening, I hope you have a great rest of the week and we will see you next time on Fit Fluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.